You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Thank you. Thank you, JP. So my name's Leslie Marrott. I also run the cafe and the community projects that are here at CLC. Our cafe is Revive. If you get the e-news, there's an update in there. There's also an extended set of e-news, which is in the foyer. There is lots going on. If you've got any questions, or you want to know more, or you want to think you'd like to be involved, speak to me afterwards. So just put that little plug in there. So we've been looking at Colossians, Jesus Christ, more than enough. And today we're looking at Colossians 3, verses 1 to 14, living as those made alive in Christ. Not existing, not turning up, living. We have a life in Christ. It is a life of abundance. It is a life of blessing. It is a life of love. And it's a life of power through the Holy Spirit. We are living alive in Christ. Just to recap the what, the who, the where, and the why. This is a personal letter to the church in Colossae. Paul wrote it, and don't forget Timothy. If you were here for the first one that our Tim shared on, you won't be forgetting Timothy. And Paul and Timothy went around bringing the good news of Jesus and visiting believers. It was written about 60 to 63 AD. Where? Part of Asia, modern-day Turkey. Paul was in prison in Rome, so he sent it whilst he was in prison, but it was to people to encourage them. And where were they? They were new Christians, new believers in the city of Colossae, mainly non-Jews, a very cosmopolitan city of its day between two main sort of thoroughfares of communication and trade. So the believers in Colossae were sent this letter. It was sent to encourage them. We are looking at it to encourage us today, not just 60 AD, but now, 2024. It's still there to encourage us today, to keep them going, to keep us going, to ensure they stayed on the right path and didn't get pulled away by wrong doctrines. The same today to help us, helping us and them to avoid dodgy teaching. Avoid the temptation of following other idols, both in that time and now. There are so many of the things that are competing for our thoughts, for our minds, for our attention. Maybe you're here today and you're listening, or you're listening online, and you're thinking, I just don't know. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what to believe. Do you know what? Just sit. Just listen. Just pause and see what the Holy Spirit and God says to you today. Because sometimes we can be so busy, and even coming on a Sunday and just sitting down, it's like we're going through the motions, we're going through the process. But God says, I want you to pause. And in fact, he's got something else to do with us as well. So we're looking at the fact that Jesus is more than enough. We don't have to follow rules and regulations. The biggest mystery, the biggest change in my life when I became a Christian was to know that Jesus Christ lives in me. That is my hope. That is my hope for my life. That is my hope for my future. That is the hope for my family. Jesus Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. And you know what? That's my identity. That's who I am. That's how I live. And hopefully we got that from the first chapter in Colossians. Tony shared on it, I think. So it's like, wow. If we do nothing else today but just soak in the fact that Christ in me, like, we go out changed. We go out strengthened. Amen? Good. Glad you're still there. So we believe that the Bible is the authentic word of God, the living word. It's not just a book that you pick up and you just go from page to page. It's the living word. What I'm sharing today has been written a couple of times over the last few weeks. And yesterday, I changed it again because it's like, wow, the living word of God. It is sharp, it is active. And I changed what I was going to share because I believe God has something special. He has got something that he wants to do with each and every one of you, whether you know him or whether you don't. Amen? Don't get too scared. So the Bible is the living word of God. And actually this section in particular, living as those made alive in Christ. So before we actually just go through this, I've got some questions. What does it mean to the original readers? Have a look at that. What is God saying to us? What's God saying to me? What does that tell us about God, about Jesus? What does that tell us about me, about people? And then, what am I going to do about it? If I read the Bible or I come on a Sunday and I don't respond and it doesn't change me, then to some extent it's empty. And you might think, oh my goodness, she's being a bit harsh. But actually, no. The Bible, the Spirit, is to change us into that glory of Jesus. Okay. So I hope you've been reading chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. It's not homework. I'm not going to mark you yet. However, this is where we get a little bit interactive in a minute. So I'm going to read it through, and I'm going to see what some of you have had got out of it this week. So chapter 3, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Wow. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practice and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. Wow. That's a world changer, isn't it? Imagine society if that was what everybody was like. That's the kingdom of God. Okay, so I'm going to give this mic to Tony, and I'm going to take up one of the other mics because I want some contributions from you today. That's why I was hoping some of you had done your homework, because I'm going to give this mic to Tony. Through. What have you got out of the reading this week? I'm going to give you a couple of moments to think about it. What's God been saying to me? What did God just say to you as we read from Colossians? Because I bet what he's been saying to different people is different. Won't all be the same. Might be. So do I have any volunteers? What's God said to you through Colossians 1:3-14? It's like being a teacher all over again. Yeah.
if you go back to the previous screen to the last verses, yeah? Do you want, have you got something to share? Okay, brilliant.
If you had verses 3 and verse 2 and 3, 1 and 2, at the end of verse 10, it gives you the answer of what you can do, and that is to set your hearts on things above and set your minds on things on above. And it's your heart that you set on God, and it's your mind that is set on God. And that way, that helps you to put away those earthly desires, and it gives you something positive that you can do and clothe yourself.
Amen. I don't need to say much else, really. That's it. It's what we're focusing, what we're setting on, what we do. Anybody else? Sarah over there. I thought this was easier sometimes than...
Yeah, listening to that then, and I mean, it's just an amazing passage, isn't it? But that verse 3, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that is just that, again, just that constant reminder that, you know, when Jesus died, you know, he died for me, and that actually that's what my faith is all based on, is that I'm dead, but my life is in Christ and nobody else and nothing else, and nothing else matters in this world but that. And that is the truth for
Amen.
Me.
Amen. That is the truth. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for us to set us free. Anybody else? We have a man with a mic. Don't be shy. Oh, Suzette, thank you.
I just, the last verse, verse 14, I'm going to read from New King James, but above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That was actually the verse that when Phil and I got married, I gave him a mug with that on, because to me it's all the things that's listed there, that meekness, humility, kindness, all of that, all the fruit of the Spirit, we need all of that to be able to love, and that bond of perfection and the bond of God, that to me is what the new person is. And as much as we can strive, only God with his freedom can give us. And only the Holy Spirit can grow those fruit. So that really stood out for me.
Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can grow those virtues in us. Can't do it on our own. I can't be really super nice. Not all the time. It's because of the Holy Spirit in us. Because we put on love. We clothe ourselves in love. Anybody else? Might be getting used to this now. Yes, Albert, thank you.
Well, it just struck me with these that with everything going on in the world and all the conflicts and everything, where there's no gentle Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, Christ is in all and is in all. If we as a species took that on board, then we wouldn't have Ukraine, and we wouldn't have the war in Israel and Gaza.
Amen.
We wouldn't have the conflicts where they're trying to shoot boats down in the Red Sea.
Yeah.
All of these, yeah, I pray about them, and I don't know where the solution is, but Jesus is the solution. That's the point.
Amen, yeah.
And, you know, if people just took that on board, that would actually end our conflicts in the world.
No divisions. We are all united in Christ. Thank you, Albert. Thank you, Suzette, Sarah, Mary. Anybody else? Opportunity. Yes, just here. Oh, two more.
I'm saying the same thing as before, really, but
okay.
I saw the word unity straight away. To echo Albert, if we adhere to Christ's principles, that's what brings us our unity in this world.
The
Hallelujah.
Unity of Christ. Amen. And then, young lady here, what's your name? You can have the mic. And
I was just looking at verse 12. You know, when you start from verse 1, it gives us a clear picture of what Jesus did for us, who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
And I don't think God wanted us to just walk through without knowing what our own responsibility would be in this whole picture. And if you look at verse 12, he said, clothe yourself. So there is a responsibility for me to be compassionate, to be kind through the help of the Holy Spirit, to be humble and gentle and patient, and to be able to come back to God when I'm not seeing these virtues and say, Lord, I really want to clothe myself with this. Would you help me? You know, will you help me? That discipline of becoming, you know, what God has proposed for us to be.
Excellent. That discipline that we will clothe ourselves with that compassion. That is our response. That's your response, that the Holy Spirit will help clothe you with that compassion that we need, the compassion that only God can give us for his creation, for what he's made. Amen. Thank you for that. Just going to put... Oh, okay.
And following on from that, in this age in which we live, like Albert alluded to earlier, we live in increasingly polarized times. You know, things like social media drive division, and political stances are becoming more extreme, and people are becoming more and more polarized. And you see that put on compassion, put on kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I think that is one of the most fundamental aspects of bringing about peace and reconciliation, and is the strongest antidote to the divisive, polarized way society feels like it's fracturing.
Amen.
Is if more people were able to have the humility to accept who they are in Christ and forgive each other. And that's in the church.
Amen.
As an example to the world. And I think that is something that, you know, is just really fundamental.
Hallelujah. Well, you don't need much more from me today, really, because you've had it. One more over there. That will be the last, because it... Lady over there. Thank you. That was Gareth. And then if that lady can tell us her name as well. I have met you.
Adele.
Thank you, Adele.
What comes to me is the aspect of becoming like Christ. Focusing on that, because a lot of it is like aspects of his character and his nature.
Yeah.
And just becoming Christ-like.
Amen. To become Christ-like. That is. I wish I'd got my pen and I'd actually tick off what I've got, what you've got, because I tell you what, it covers, it gets rid of so much. So I'm going to try and sift through this and just highlight perhaps some of the things we haven't. But you've been amazing. Some of you have either done your homework or you did it just as the lesson started. I don't mind, because we got there, we shared. But the thing is, everybody gets something different. It is the living word of God. It changes. What I get out of it, what you get out of it, what you get out at a different time, it's the living word. So if I was going to give this a title, Mary, I was going to call it Caution, Reset. And this is what I believe God is trying to do with us. He is going to reset us. Because it says, set your mind and your hearts. And if we can set our minds and our hearts in that right place and allow God to work through us in that and strengthen us, then that's what it is. Tony's about to give me the other mic, because I'm going to fall over that. I like to move when I'm preaching. So I'm getting rid of that one. And I'm back to this one. It's slightly easier. I won't trip myself up. So it's a caution. It's a reset. Set our minds. And it actually says, set your hearts on things above. Set your mind. So God wants to deal with our hearts and our minds, our thinking, our emotions, where we're standing, what we're doing, where our faith is. I'm going to get rid of this. One of the things I did write down, and this is from the worship, to see God, to set our minds, to see God as he truly is. Our Heavenly Father, he is the creator of heaven and earth. He split the sea so I could walk right through it. He splits the sea so you can walk right through it. You don't have to battle going through the waves. So it's changing and resetting our mind about who God is. I had a little picture somewhere of a dog
with a little sort of neck cuff on it. And it's like God is saying, focus. Don't get distracted. So much in the world today. Don't get distracted. Focus on me. Oh, yes, some of you like the little dog. But it's that type of thing because it protects us. It stops us worrying with anything else or sort of an injury. It gets rid of that. You need to bear with me a minute. Okay. So our old actions and attitudes should be changed. They belong to the old us. We are a new man, a new creation. We have new spiritual clothing. It's time for a reset. But you know what? The sufficiency of Christ will help me. The poor media team are probably, thank you, Phil, are probably thinking, where is she at now? So we've skipped quite a bit. But the sufficiency of Christ through the Holy Spirit will get me through this, will get you through that. It's putting on the new us in Christ. Bear with each other. Unity. Wouldn't that just change society? Albert said, we're really all the same. We're united. And if that was true, and we all thought like that, that would change society completely. Wow. So, just a few questions. What does it mean for the original readers? What's God saying to me? What does it tell us about God Jesus? What does it tell me about people? What am I going to do? I'm not going to cover a lot of that because I think we've covered it. I think from the answers we've got, from what we've already shared, we know what God's saying. Most of you have been able to hear what God said to you. Our home is in heaven. But what do we find the most challenging? Out of all the things that God's called us to do, what do we find challenging? In which ways do we live where we're not honouring God through our actions, our attitudes? Road rage. The other day I was driving and a guy really cut me up and it's like, rah, 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 rah. And I suddenly thought, bless him. I can't say that's where my heart and my mind was, but that's where my spirit was. So, yeah, it's just changing, putting on the new self. The old has gone, okay? What do we find the most challenging from those scriptures? What do I need more of? More of Jesus. What do I need less of? Less of me, that's for sure. Time for a reset. What does it tell us about God? He wants a holy people. He wants us to be like Christ, his son. He let Jesus Christ die on the cross so that we could have our relationship restored and so that we would become like Christ. What a privilege. And I sometimes think, wow, I'm not worthy of that. I cannot do that. But you know, I don't have to. Because it's Jesus, God, the Spirit in me that does it. So I don't have to bear necessarily that concern that, oh, am I worthy? God says, I'm worthy. God has made each and every one of us worthy through Jesus. So if you're sitting here today thinking, oh, I've blown it already, do you know what? You are worthy. Because Jesus made you worthy. Amen? Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and all efficient and much sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces to the separation of soul and spirit, of joints, marrow, and bones. It judges the reasoning and conscience of the heart. The word of God is not just for us to sort of sit and read in the week or on a Sunday. It is to penetrate right into our spirits, dividing our flesh and our spirit, to actually get right in and to just smooth out, to bring peace, to bring love, to bring joy, but to bring the knowledge of our identity, of who we are in Christ and what our inheritance is. Forget the surface. Forget the froth and bubble. It goes right in to our hearts and our minds. That's the reset. So we need to sort of start walking more with the fruit of the Spirit, that peace, joy, patience. Our motivation should be godly. It talked in there about money, greed, root of evil. Am I really trusting God in my finances? Maybe that's something that might be challenging you. Do I really trust God, or am I really striving to do all the hours I need to get everything sorted? God just says, put it down, rest. Okay? So, what are we going to do? God wants our hearts to put them in a strong place, full of hope, increase our faith, our minds to know who we are, sons and daughters of the living God. I am a co-heir with Christ. I have an inheritance in heaven. I don't have to struggle necessarily, although sometimes it feels like it on this earth, because actually my destination is heaven. Heaven is my home. And we sometimes think, oh, I've got so much to do, but actually that's my home. That's where I actually belong. And so it strengthens me. I think, wow, I don't have to be here every day thinking, oh my goodness. I sometimes do think, have I got this done? Have I got that done? Because actually, I can be having peace knowing that with that being my destination and my home, it's sorted. Amen? Don't know if any of you are like that, but it's sorted. So what areas am I not trusting God? You are doing a brilliant job over there. Thank you, Phil. What actions and attitudes are not honouring Jesus? What areas do I struggle to give up? Do I really allow his word to be a two-edged sword in my life? Do I ever think I've blown it? And just think, do you know what? If we're like that, we just repent. We just say, sorry, Father. And basically that just means turning back around. That is your reset button. Puts you back on the right track with Father. Idolatry. What do we put in the place of God in our lives? Dare I mention football or city praise? Oh, that is controversial. Leslie Marrott, how dare you? I dare. Oh, okay. Oh, that is such a touchy subject, but you know, I'm feeling brave. And this isn't to condemn anybody. It just is. What are we putting in the place of God? We are seated in heaven. And yes, we do want to see our team win. But we can put it on record. Ooh, did I mention record? There we go. So, where's the idolatry? What does this tell us about God? God wants us to be Christ-like. The Holy Spirit is here to bring release. Putting off the old, putting on the new. If you've still got habits, attitudes, things in your life, and just think, do you know what, I've really struggled to get rid of this, take them off. Tony and I became Christians at the same time. I stopped smoking that day. Totally convicted, I don't need it, got rid of it. Never smoked from that day forward. Tony took slightly longer. We're all different. God works with us all differently. And for quite a few years, he was still smoking. But he eventually got to that point of saying, I don't need to be. And if you've got anything in your lives today that you just think, I need a reset on that, the Spirit's here to pray, to help you. Don't go out here without missing the opportunity. Okay, nearly there. A couple of things that I've really felt God wanted to look at today. If you are living a life of lies, I just sense there might be people here, I don't know if it's a lady or a woman, but you're just living a life of lies, or you've been told lies and it's a burden. God says you don't need to be carrying it. Let the word of God write into your heart to bring truth. It could be that you've believed a lie about yourself and that's affected your self-esteem. And that changes who you actually are in Christ. It changes the way you view Christ and you view God. And God wants to get rid of that. Don't carry the burdens. There was another one where you're carrying so much. It could be to do with work, it could be to do with finances, it could be situations, it could be the things that are going on in your life, and it is like a weight on your back. And God is wanting to lift that off. And you're at the point where even just one little stone that falls off, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's unbalancing it. God wants to take the whole thing and remove it, because he wants to give you a reset. Not a factory reset, a manufacturer's reset. Okay, so if you're carrying problems, burdens that slow you down, take your energy, your finances, God wants to help you. Living with fears. Fears of failing. I used to do that for years. I feared I was going to be a failure. What people saw me, oh, I'm a failure, I can't do it. I'm so shy, I was so quiet. It's like nobody will speak to me. Don't ask me a question in class because that would never be any good. I was so shy. God changed it because I see myself through God's eyes by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God wants to bring a reset. Put on love. Do you know, sometimes we need to put on love for ourselves, not just for other people. Let God love you. Love yourself. I know the Bible says, love the Lord your God, love the neighbor as yourself. Sometimes I think we need to let ourselves love ourselves. We're okay. There's nothing wrong. Just, you know, where you need to change, that's okay. Put on love. Let our lives demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. Right, nearly there. Me and Jill are doing a brilliant job. Okay, then I saw somebody else that was on a path, and it was like they were just standing there and just did not know what way to turn. Might be here you today or somebody online, and you're just standing and you think, I just don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. It could be that you're afraid of moving forward. God wants to take that fear away. God wants to give you peace, joy, and strength, and get rid of the confusion. Set your mind on the things above. Or it could be that you're getting a bit of a halt. You're not moving. You've lost the heart of following Jesus. It's more of a religious, I must. I must read my Bible, I must pray, I must get there on a Sunday. Do you know, this is time for a reset. A time to get rid of weariness, a time to get rid of burdens, a new heart. God wants to change us from the inside out. In Joel 2, it says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Clothe yourselves with compassion. That's what Colossians tells us. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Loving God, loving one another, loving the people he created. Do you know what, as a leader, I speak with many people. I see lots of different situations, but I know I am not their answer. I am not the answer. I am a signpost to Jesus. As a church, as a people, we are to signpost people to Jesus, not to ourselves, definitely not, but to Jesus, because it's Christ in me that is attractive to the world. It's the compassion that God puts in me, in us, that is attractive to the outside world. So we're here to help them find a better way, to find freedom, to be restored. But we need to have our lives that declare that, that say that, that show that. Not sort of coming on a Sunday or maybe at other times and just thinking, oh, well, I'll get away with it. No, God wants a reset. He wants to reset our minds and our hearts. So Jesus Christ is more than enough for me. He's more than enough for you. He's more than enough for your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues. He's more than enough for the world to set our minds and hearts on him, not to be distracted, but to allow him to reset our hearts and minds. And I'm just going to read that verse again, verse 3. Since then, I have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Mary was the first one, and she said, strictly speaking, that would be easier if it came after. Yes. To do all that, we need to set our hearts and our minds. And God wants to give us that time to reset. I've got a song for you to listen to, but just before we do that, because I do believe some of us have got business work, just God wants to put his arm around you. So I've put some cushions down by the cross. Radical. Because I just thought, do you know what? Sometimes you just might want to sit at the foot of the cross and think, blow it, I don't care what other people think of me. I don't care about the fear of man. I just want to be with Jesus. And I thought that's the best place. I'm not your answer. Jesus is. If any of you felt really convicted about forgiveness, I've put some bread and wine out. If it's with people that are here today, it might just be the opportunity to go to them and say, look, let's just set the record straight. Put, you know, our old selves, this is new. This is a new opportunity. Amen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to put the song on, and then I'm going to pass over to JP. While the song's playing, if you want to do business, that is what God is here for, the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you are here, that you are our Father, that you're here to reset our minds and our hearts to be united with Christ and with each other. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Cross of our freedom, singing the sweet name of Jesus. You are the help and the healing we need. More than enough in our weakness, constant in every season. Alive and
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, your love is enough. Your love is more than enough. And we just thank you, Father, for the love that was poured out over the cross for us, that made us children of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the price you paid. And we just cannot thank you enough, because now there is an opportunity. The same thing you said to Philip, and Philip asked you to show the Father. You said to Philip, Philip, when you look at me, you see the Father. And we thank you, Jesus, because when we look at you, we see the Father today. Thank you so much for that. Hallelujah.